was Christmas Day, and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk, sick and broke, after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Danny shivered with a bitter cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Benny wouldn't pawn for a deuce, he thought. It was in the West 90s, a long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there, a holly wreath in a clean black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. The street being empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Daddy whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. He could feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep South accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it, neither. Danny slid sideways as the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the South, too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. There was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I gotta score somehow. If I had some decent clothes. Then he saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good leather. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score, all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm rum and heroin emptying into his vein. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. Two long packages in brown wrapping paper. He took one out. It felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. Holy Jesus, he claimed. The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway. He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. Legs, he muttered. Found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. Thought you might be taking the day off, Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me? His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. What's the matter? I don't pay enough. I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it. Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase. Okay, he held up 3 fingers. For Christ's sake, Gimpy, give me a nickel. You got somebody else, why don't he give you a nickel? It's like I say, the case was empty. Gimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking. He sniffs suspiciously. How come it stink like that? Mexican leather? So, am I in the leather business? Gimpy shrugged. Could be. He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. You want? Okay, Danny picked up the money. You see George the Greek, he asked. Where you been? He got busted 2 days ago. Oh, that's bad. Danny walked out. Now where can I score?
Welcome, and good morning on this bright, sunny, cheerful day. You're tuned in to The Eternal Now on WFMU.org. My name's Andy. And we just heard from William Burroughs with The Junkie's Christmas, a festive jaunt. It's that time again, that time of the year. And we're going to keep things moving. This is Annie Anxiety. Stay with us for a very festive episode.
Disgust me! for that Percy Goodson.
Oh,
I was
I'm sorry.
Hello. We're back, knee-deep in a holiday episode of The Eternal Now. We just heard from Marsh Stepper. That was an excerpt from a release, A New Sacrament of Penance, from 2014. Also from this year, relatively recent, Bo Wanzer with a self-titled LP, but a track called Shitty Cough 7. Before that, German Shepherds with the track I Rejected Christ, which I believe is some alternate version of, I think, the song THC. But different title there, different sound, but more or less. In front of that, Japanese band Jism with Endless Blockades for the Pussyfooter from Detestation. In front of that, Wall of Voodoo with a track called Do the Doink. Guess people don't often think of Wall of Voodoo when they hear something like that, but there you have it. Rick Rue in front of that, Banging the Door. Not the PIL song, but the Rick Rue song, Banging the Door, from the album Bend an Ear. Just in front of that, another new release by Consumer Electronics, a.k.a. Philip Best, from also other people know him in the band White House. Affirmation from the Estuary English album. Very good album. And in front of that, we did start that off with Annie Anxiety. Cyanide Fears was the name of that track, from 1981, from a 7-inch barbed wire halo. And I'm sure people know her from the band Crass. Anyway, moving right along. Keeping in the spirit of things, this is Michael Jackson's First Christmas. You're listening to The Eternal Now on WFMU.
I've met a lot of people in my life, and very few are real, real, real friends. You can probably count them on one hand. And Elizabeth is one of the most loyal, loving, caring people that I know. She decided to transform Neverland into its first Christmas. Because I don't celebrate Christmas.
It is 1993, and this will be Michael Jackson's very first Christmas. It has taken me, I would think, about 5 years of talking him into celebrating Christmas at Netherlands, because I understood that if you are a Jehovah's Witness, they don't celebrate Christmas. When he quit being a Jehovah's Witness, I said to Michael, I think Christmas is a wonderful way of celebrating love. It's a celebration of love. And I can't see Christmas without Michael, or Michael without Christmas.
It's pretty, isn't it?
I had no idea she was planning this. This was a real surprise.
Michael?
That's my bedroom that she's coming to now.
Michael? It's the spirit of Christmas. Come to haunt you.
I'm not easy to wake up.
Michael?
Don't jump at the side of my little girl.
She know I don't like that dog because I'm afraid of dogs. They're little, but they bite.
Oh, you sweet boy. Come on. Welcome to your first Christmas.
Oh, my God. It's incredible.
I can't believe this. This is the first time.
She decorated the entire house.
That's yours.
Santa King?
Santa from Bel Air.
Santa from Bel Air. Shall I open it?
Sure.
At the same time, it's exciting. I feel guilty, too, at the same time. I remember going in the bathroom crying later because I felt I had done something wrong because I was raised not to ever celebrate it.
Ooh, love it.
I do have one.
Yes, put it on right now. Realizing you're photographing me without any makeup on. Love it. Super soaker. Now I know how to wake up Elizabeth tomorrow. How? Awful villain. Oh, my God.
You better lock your door.
A shooting gallery.
This shit is a super soaker. I can feel it and tell.
And it says,
Ouch.
I want a squirt gun. I want a squirt machine gun.
She's snatching presents. And I have this one. It's for you, but can I have it?
Yes.
Thank you.
What is it?
It's a water gun.
Water gun.
How do you know it's a water gun?
Because I see it at the top.
That's not fair.
It's a super soaker.
Take it.
Thank you. You're too kind.
Plastic suit.
If you're wondering why I love Super Soaker so much, it's because if you come to Neverland, it's a rule that you are bound to get wet. Either be thrown in the pool, or you have a water balloon fight, or a Super Soaker fight.
Oh, For you, like me, are governed by hereditary legislation. My hot blood is sulfurous sap you shared while inside my womb unwrapped. It leaves a code stuck in your head. Its words are sticky, hot, and red. It's in your nerves. It's on your tongue. It holds true for everyone. It shouts a call, it animates your Elan Vital. It's an originating birthday favor, however it only accounts for part of your behavior. Prior to birth, this gift was precomposed to act as latently predisposed of what the present can never know for sure, a genetic trap you must endure. We'll be right back. and the fetus stuck in the pit of my belly like ulcers on fire that lung from across made of twisted barbed wire. And they caught my eye from the socket it hung on the optic nerve and it bled. Pretty soon I could see the back of my own head. He crushed the communion wafers and he mixed them with his own feces and fed them to his wife's. They contracted his disease. There is a devil, there is no doubt. He's either crawling in your mouth or he's matter falling. There is no doubt. He's trying to get in or he's trying to get out. He's either crawling through your lips or he's crawling out of your piss. And take the tea leaves and operating them from the stems. I steep them in the holy water and beheld the cult of the Siamese twins. Tobacco pouches. The fine tobacco flowed from the nipple like pus freely spewing from the tip of a pimple. The fog hung down in the low gooey paste as I peered through the opening in the rip of love's place. The steam burned off and then it lifted. For her cunt was filled with ashes that could only be seen by me. And dreams that invade like an incoming shroud that could scream. Like the lightning that scribbled the low dark clouds in faint little dreams. I beheld the Baron Sam Eddy rise from the grave from a crest. With the coat of arms of St. Lazarus tattooed on his breast. Making a new departure instead of repeating old habits, he held up the heart of Rizzoli and with his knife he did stab it. A cupid, a baby with wings and a dart, he aimed the bow and he pierced her heart. Let's have a moment of silence for the terminal mythomaniac. Let's bow our heads for those who can't afford therapy. For those quirks of behavior that will never be healed. If depression is fate, then one's fate will sadly be sealed. Let's put a smile on the face of the professional man who will accept a check from the man with the frown whenever we can. Upside down, the frown makes sense. Happiness has its own expense. And on, anonymous, the victim silently obsessed. Stop. Double. She had a face as sharp as an axe.